Welcome, and thanks for joining me today on Mortgage Manager Playbook, a podcast for sales leaders who want to improve their team's sales performance and originate more loans. I'm Pat Sherlock, your host.
Today's topic is a fabulous topic, is overcoming key mistakes in leading. And this one, I have the perfect expert, Jeff Schumer. Jeff has been in the financial industry for a long time. He currently is president of Financial Independence, a real estate consulting and coaching firm. We all know Jeff from his MBA days. He was a head of education. Prior to that, he was with the FHA and Wells Fargo. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
Good. Well, I'm glad to have you on here. There's no one better expert at this than you on this particular topic. But before we jump into it, let's talk about how did you get into the world of financial services and mortgage lending?
Well, first, thanks for having me. I really appreciate that. Well, you know, it was by chance, as most mortgage bankers experience. So I was actually in the wine business before I got into financial services. I worked for Gallo Wine Company in Los Angeles, California. Okay. For about 3 or 4 years in sales and marketing. And then I wanted to put my experience of real estate and also finance through college to use. And so I applied for a position as a loan officer at a savings and loan in Los Angeles. And I was hired on as a loan originator and have loved the business and have never left. It's all history from there.
Well, you have an insight on wine that I have to call you on about because I love wine myself. So talk about, since you've been in the business a long time, talk about this whole issue of what do you think lenders should be addressing but really haven't addressed? What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, there's a lot. If I were to boil it down to maybe two or three things, one is I think that lenders are still struggling with the hybrid work environment, the fallout from COVID, mm-hmm. the remote working versus in office, and how to balance that, mm-hmm. how to work effectively together and communicate in a team type of collaboration environment. I think that's one thing that is still out there. And also recruiting and developing talent, I think continues to be a big challenge for many lenders in terms of going through these last 18 months and now emerging out of it, hopefully with lower interest rate environment, business starting to pick up, and how to really recruit and then train and then retain good talent is another one. Third one that comes to mind is building a more collaborative culture within mm-hmm. the lending environment and how underwriting, processing, servicing, and production can work more collaboratively together in order to serve the customer.
Well, I agree with all of that. And that leads to the next issue that I want to ask you right off the bat is to talk about financial firms never seem to want to make the investment in development for all kinds of reasons. They will tell you that if they train them, they'll leave them. What are your thoughts on that? And how can we change the view of that? They look at it almost transactionally.
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, that training and education is often been viewed more as an expense, mm-hmm. and a line item that can be eliminated when business starts to slow down, rather than see it as an opportunity to invest in the organization, invest in its people, provide them with more skills, more knowledge, so they can be ready when the market does turn to then take advantage of that knowledge and experience and skill. And so I think that having a mindset, as I said, building a culture around a collaborative organization that includes investing, I think that's the operative word, is right. An investment rather than an expense when it comes to developing your organization and its people. I think the most valuable asset is the people. And with that comes, you know, commitment, loyalty, a sense of what, you know, what the future could look like for the employee, mm-hmm. potential advancement within the organization, within the industry. So it's really a win-win all around if the leader of the organization recognizes education and training as really a cornerstone in helping their company be successful.
Well, before we leap into our topic today, I do have one more question that I want to ask you. Do you think some of it's tied together that they see training as motivational speakers? And at the end of the day, you're not going to really transform a habit a new selling habit into something from a motivational speaking. It could be entertaining and it certainly could be worthwhile at the moment, but actually changing the needle doesn't happen. And do you think because we've had so much of that in our industry that that's led to like, well, training doesn't work. I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, I agree with you, Pat. I think that I call it a one and done type of experience. We all know that when we go to a seminar or a talk, it can be a very inspiring one-time event. And then when we get back to our work environment, we go back to the same ways that we've always been accustomed to. And we get caught up in the day-to-day, the grind and the tasks and the functions that are associated with our roles. So the key is to what happens after that and how can we build a platform or a roadmap for an individual that can reinforce those learning points over a period of time. And I call that, repetitive learning and really ingraining those types of learning points into the day-to-day responsibilities and work of the person. So I'm a big believer in pre-preparation for an event, and then the event, and then post event. So then you can carry on the momentum and the learning experience. And as you said, ingrain it and put it into muscle memory. So then, behavior can change. And then also you can see a more successful result from that experience.
Well, I think that's a great segue into what we're talking about today, which is the mistakes in leading or slash managing. And I'm curious about your thoughts. Mortgage lending in particular has very much, certainly in my view, looked at managing as, well, we'll get around to that sometime. Whereas producers are the managers, but it's almost in name only. So talk about the mistakes at really the senior level of what they tend to do, which really doesn't help them to manage in more difficult times like we're in now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I do believe in that teamwork is actually a competitive advantage. Mm-hmm. And as a leader to recognize that if you want to differentiate your organization and get an edge in the marketplace, that when you put together and assemble a team that is dynamic, that is collaborative, that really, understands its purpose, its mission, and its goals, you can achieve, extraordinary results. So leaders make a number of mistakes going into, managing their organizations. And there's five, I think, areas that I would focus in on. The first is the absence of trust. It's so important for a leader to build trust in the organization, not only through their words, but then through their actions and following up on those words, because people want to see that, the leader is modeling the way, so to speak, leading by example, making themselves available, responsive, accessible, and learning about the individuals or the people as individuals rather than just employees, and connecting with those people on a personal level. So it's important to be able to build trust across the organization in a purposeful way and to show vulnerability yourself as a leader. Mm-hmm. You too are human. You will make mistakes. Sometimes, you'll make decisions that aren't the best, but to learn from those and to be open about that, and to make sure that the organization recognizes that, you're there for them and that you're not, as we say, invulnerable, and that you don't have this kind of like, this barrier between you and your employees where they don't know much about you and what makes you really tick. So I think the absence of trust is the basic foundation, of a mistake in leadership. A couple of others would be, I think, building on top of that is the fear of conflict. We all want to be liked. We all want to be, people to, be receptive to what, we have to say. But when we do that, there is a sense of artificial harmony that takes place, and go along and get along rather than really go to the heart of the matter and understand what the issues, the challenges, the obstacles are that we have to face. And how do we debate those ideas? Mm-hmm. How do we work with one another and then try to engender an open conversation around what needs to be done differently? Because mm-hmm. that's our best way to approach and solve problems when we get it on the table and we talk about it collectively as an organization, as a team, to get things done.
And so, Jeff, when you look at it, I'm super impressed that you raise these issues, because certainly what I see at a lot of lenders is almost that the leadership is afraid of the sales staff because they, in other words, can move on to another company pretty quickly. And in our industry, we have, 40% turnover. It's been that way for a long time. We talk about managing, but are they really being managed, and trust really is not established? Why do you think this has happened, and how can we correct it? And what are some of the thoughts that you have on that?
Well, another mistake that would address that is really the lack of commitment from the team. When you have high producers that bring in, you know, the business and the revenue, sometimes they're treated a little bit differently. And when that does happen, you know, that all, can also impact the rest of the team as well. So I think it's important to recognize the value of the individual contributors, what they bring to the organization, but at mm-hmm. the same time, emphasize that we're all a team. We're all here working together to, again, make sure that we're following our goals and our mission as an organization, and whatever that might be in terms of, you know, making sure that we bring in quality loans, that mm-hmm. we serve our customers exceptionally well, that we're trying to, you know, make sure that we're engaged with, you know, our community, so we're a little bit more involved that way. I think it gets down to a numbers game sometimes with producers, that they're looking, you know, for sales, they're looking to make mm-hmm. their income goals. But at the same time, if you have a dynamic organization that they feel a part of, more than just themselves and more than what they're just bringing in, they feel a little bit more committed and loyal to the organization, and maybe are more apt to stay when times mm-hmm. get a little bit tough and they question whether or not they want to move on.
So I know that you do a lot of consulting and coaching at the executive level and the senior level. And I'm curious on what is the issue that they decide that they want to fix it, or are they really wanting to fix it? I'm curious on what you think.
Yeah, that's a tough one, because working with professionals, mm-hmm. there comes a point in time where they're, you know, if they're at a crossroads in terms of their, you know, where they want to go with their careers or with their particular, you know, goals and objectives that they've set for themselves, they have to make a determination whether or not they want to continue in the same behavioral pattern, or they want to now make a change. And the pain is to such a degree that change is necessary, and they recognize that. So there's an awareness component mm-hmm. to it. So once there is an awareness and an acknowledgement that they want to get to a different level, a different place in terms of their success and mm-hmm. their effectiveness, that's when we can have really meaningful conversations around, you know, what's important to them, what are their values within, you know, their job environment, their company, what is it that is most important to them? What do they want to really change and do differently? How can they begin to think more deeply about making changes to get to where they want to go, to get out of that kind of stuck mode or that pain point that they're in? It takes work. It takes vulnerability, opening oneself up to knowing that, you know, things need to be done differently, and then listening, learning, and then self-discovery. Having a conversation where the client begins to self-discover mm-hmm. on their own through coaching that things could be done differently, you know, if they think through it a little bit more, rather than through just going about their business on a regular basis and making the same kinds of mistakes, behaving the same ways, and not really, you know, breaking through and doing things differently.
So when you look at, I'm sure in your career back in the SNL days, and in my own career, I was a GE Capital person. There was Crotonsville, which is a learning university for GE personnel that you learn to manage. And that was basically provided to their high performers, and then you would go. Our industry, the banking industry, and not just mortgage lending, doesn't seem to really have that anymore for all kinds of reasons. And it does seem when we have difficult times, like we've had the last few years, they really can't manage their way out of it, is what it boils down to. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket science to add a new product. I mean, wait a minute, that's not exactly cutting edge. But to actually get more out of people, that concept doesn't seem to be around. What are your thoughts on that? And how do you see that playing out as we go forward?
Well, I've always been a proponent with the thinking that worry most when times are good. Sure. Meaning you want to prepare yourself so when the inevitable comes in our business is cyclical, that you are prepared for that, you know, that new market that is, you know, contract. So, you know, I go back to the investment in education, training, and preparedness, and putting together programs that are going to grow your people and their knowledge and help them to, you know, be prepared to have that kind of ability when things start to go sideways, you know, with the business. Where else maybe could they be an asset to the organization? Maybe they can go into underwriting. Maybe they can go into compliance. Maybe they can go into loan administration. You know, there's all sorts of ways that you can expose your people to different facets of the business to gain more understanding and skills and capabilities, and to be able to flex, if you will, those individuals. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to necessarily downsize if you're managing smartly, if you're educating and training during good times, and you're preparing for those future periods where business might not be as strong. I can remember, you know, working for a great company for 20 years, we designed a loan basic sales course. Everyone had to go through that, not only the great producers, but also the marginal ones, but everyone had to go through loan basic sales. Everyone had to go through a management essentials program for new and upcoming managers who had high potential. Everyone had to go through a leadership development program. So we made those more of a requirement rather than need to have. In that way, I think we created a culture of learning, the importance of learning, and that paid dividends when business went through its various cycles.
Well, I agree with you 100%. So how do we improve the industry from that standpoint? And this is not just mortgage lending, but the financial sector, that this whole issue of if we invest in training, they'll leave us anyway. So why bother? Let somebody else train and pay for it themselves. And this is also the reason why we never bring new people into our industry. And so, which is obviously a problem as we go forward, because we need people that can do technology. We need people that want to be social selling influencers. I know we in the old days, you didn't have to do any of that, but you do now, and or you're not in the game. What are your thoughts on that, and how does your coaching and consulting, how do you help lenders do that?
So as far as preparing, you know, individuals and teams, I think it's important again to ingrain within the culture the importance of shared sacrifice and commitment. So it goes back to the values of the organization, how they align with the organizational culture and the person themselves and their teams. And one of the questions is, do you want to be a good company or a great company? Mm-hmm. And the great ones, the top 10% of companies really embrace this type of training, education, and commitment to developing their people. And their people recognize that, and those values align with their values. Part of that is the recruiting aspect of the people you want to bring into your organization. Do they align with your culture and what you are really all about? Are they moldable? I often liked when I was in charge of organizations, origination and underwriting, I look for people who could who had experience maybe in the music world or the sporting world or what have you, because they were used to being coached. They were used to being feedback, constructive feedback to get better at whatever they were interested in doing, whether it was playing an instrument or whether it was, you know, running, you know, bases on the baseball field. So they were a little bit more open to constructive feedback and coaching to help them get to a higher level of performance. So I think those are a couple of ways to think about it in order to really set your organization up for success in this area.
Well, it's a topic. I'm going to have you come back and we'll have to talk about the cultural side, because I do think that is the heart of the problem. What is that culture? So we only have a few minutes left. So if you could give some takeaways for our listeners today as far as the mistakes in leading.
Well, I would go back to the key ones that I start out with. I would say absence of trust. Mm-hmm. How do you build trust? Second is fear of conflict. How can you engender healthy conflict and debate ideas, not make it personal? Make sure that everyone is committed to the objective and the mission. Make sure that everyone is accountable on the team for one another, because when you have that kind of cohesiveness, people will run their own, you know, success and their own way of accomplishing their objectives. Make sure that the results are also, the expectations are clear, and the results that come from those expectations are clear. And then I would say, make sure that you just build a team that works together and that has those elements that I just spoke of when it comes to, you know, running the organization.
Well, I'm there with you on that topic for sure. It all does start with who you hire for sure. So, Jeff, talk about how people can get a hold of you and contact you.
Yeah, you bet. So the best way would be through my website at the10xcoach.com. My company specializes in leadership executive coaching from all levels, actually, from the COO, C-suite, down to the individual contributor. And if someone wants to just have a conversation around, you know, what they would like to try to accomplish or some changes they would like to make to improve their capabilities in you know, whatever they're managing or leading, I would be happy to have a conversation with them.
And your phone number and your email, would you like to share that?
Sure. It's 210-416-2684. And my email is the letter J, Schumer, S-C-H-U-M-M-E-R, at me.com.
Well, I want to thank you, Jeff, for sharing all your great wisdom with it. I think it was really an important conversation that we're having. And I want to thank our listeners and certainly subscribe to our podcast. We'd love to have you. Thanks so much, Jeff.
Thanks, Pat.
Thanks for listening to Mortgage Manager Playbook. You can catch up on all our episodes by subscribing to receive each week a new show. Don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and team members. If you're looking to increase production, call me to discuss my prospecting sales training program, Ramping Up Realtor Referral Sources. Check out my website, www.patsherlock.com.